Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to People of Interest on CKUW 95.9 FM. All right, I am joined by Jackie Travers. Jackie has an art show coming up titled Ever Sick at the Nietzsche Commons, the second floor mezzanine at 865 Main Street. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh. There we go. Now you're on. All right. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how long you've been doing art?
Well, I'm born and raised in Winnipeg, the North End, and core area. Been doing art now for 10 years. Graduated from the University of Manitoba in 2009, and been making my living mainly as a woodlands artist here in the city. I've been illustrating books, and I do have some stop motion animations that are in distribution across Canada and the States. And this is the first solo show of all these works being paired together. There's three series. The first one I did was when I first got out of art school, I applied for a grant through the Manitoba Arts Council, and I got a grant to do the Childhood Memory series, and there's eight paintings in that series. And those have been out to Ottawa and Brandon and back. And then the next one is Seven. I did that when I was I was asked to be in a group show with the Aboriginal group of Seven. You know who they are?
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Well, some people don't. Yeah. And then, so there was me in that show, me, Lita Fontaine, Daryl Nipanak, and Louis Ogama.
Okay.
And yeah, cool. The curator was Kathy Madison. We used to meet for lunch all the time and kind of got stuck on the theme of Seven. So everybody was decided to work with that idea. So then, you know, I did too, and I thought I'd do the Seven Teachings because they're, you know, I noticed they're getting a lot of attention now in the schools and stuff. So I thought I'd do the opposite of the teachings, you know, like base the stories on people I know, ex-boyfriends, family, cousins.
How do you mean the opposite of the teachings?
Well, you know, to be humble, that's a teaching, right? It's humility. Well, I based it on an ex-boyfriend, Gilbert, who is really conceited.
Okay.
So I did a painting of him in a thong, a leopard print thong, shining all the reflective surfaces in his house and kissing himself in the mirror at the same time. Multitasking, I guess you could say.
And then the last series is Baby Gat.
Yeah, that I did in art school, so it's kind of cool that it gets to be shown with this work. And that's kind of like the play on words, like the clothing line Baby Gap that, you know, most people in the hood can't afford. So this is kind of like our brand. And that came to me when I first started paying attention to the internet, and my daughter was a teenager and she was going on Pixo and Bebo, and this is like before Facebook became really popular, and I noticed her teenage friends were having babies, and they're dressing those babies like little gangsters. You know, I saw like a two-year-old gang signing, and he didn't even know what he was doing, right? But he was already learning to gang sign. So yeah, I thought, well, these children are being brought up in that environment, and it made me think, you know, what are they going to be like as teenagers, and then as adults, and are they going to have children at a young age and teach them the same thing? So, yeah, that's what Baby Gat's all about.
Now, before, you had mentioned that the work that you produced for this show isn't something that people are purchasing, but you did say that you do woodland painting. What is woodland?
Well, like the Aboriginal group of Seven, Norval Morisseau was like the grandfather of that school of art, and he's like, I guess he's mainly painting legends and stories, and I'll paint like I paint a lot of women. I do a lot of women in different scenarios. Like I could do women smudging, or women praying, women in a circle. I celebrate Anishinaabe women a lot through my work and traditions and cultures. And I do a thing with the mixed media, which is I paint a lot of turtles and ravens. I'm really well known for that. So the raven is the trickster, and the turtle represents truth in the seven teachings, and it's also our home, Turtle Island. So yeah, I'm well known for that 3D kind of artwork.
Okay. Now, this show isn't your first, is it?
No, I've been in a few group shows. Like I said, I was in Front Runners with, you know, got to show my work with Louis Ogama, Daryl Nipanak, and Lita Fontaine. Right. And the rest of the Aboriginal group is seven. Alex Janvier came to Winnipeg, and I can't remember. Joseph Sanchez, I think his name is. Anyways, yeah, there. That was in 2011. So, but this is the first time I'm showing my work by myself and showing these works all together. So it's exciting.
Now, I guess you say your work reflects your life experience. Some of it's kind of graphic. Is that something that you enjoy revealing about yourself? Are you comfortable with it?
Well, yeah, because when I was in art school, I was looking back on stories and the things artists were saying with their work, and like mainly First Nation artists, and I thought about myself, like where I grew up and my life experience. Like I never had I guess, you know, these teachings and stuff. Like I grew up in foster care. I grew up in the system. I grew up in the North End. I grew up on the streets. Like I had a totally different experience growing up, and I thought, well, my stories are just as valid, you know, why not tell them? Because nobody else is telling these kind of stories, and I think, you know, why not? You know, if I don't tell them, then no one's ever going to see them. No one's ever going to know about them. And, like, if I think about the Childhood Memories series, there's a picture there about, the loss of language. And it's me as a little girl, and I'm saying, when I was a little girl, I thought my Indian name was Manjishtigan, until I found out it meant big head. So that just kind of is the reality of us not knowing our own language. Anybody could call us any name. We'd think that, you know, if they said, oh, here, this is your Indian name.
Is that what your parents called you, or just family friends?
Oh, my cousins called me that, you know. Okay. And I didn't even know I was being teased, you know, until I got older and I found out what it meant. But it wasn't like they called me it all the time, but it was, I remember it as a kid. So, like, that's about loss of language, and it's humorous at the same time, you know? Then there's another one of my kittens. My cat had kittens, and I wondered where they were. When I came home, they were gone. And my auntie said that Children's Aid came and took them and put them in foster homes. So, oh. So that night, I pictured them all in like kind of like a hospital ward, being tucked in by white women, you know, and that's how I pictured. And I was in like grade one, and I knew what Children's Aid was because we had to hide from them. As when I was a little girl, I remember hiding under the sink in the bathroom and being told not to make any noise. It was like my mom was always watching for them. And they took my siblings away. They took my two sisters and my one brother away, but they never got me.
Right.
So, like, those, you know, you can kind of laugh at them, but there's seriousness about them. And it's kind of my way of bringing up those issues, talking about them, but, you know, kind of laughing at them too, because that's how I learned to cope. I find the funny in things.
So your brother and your sister were taken away. Do you have contact with them anymore?
No, my brother was adopted out to Pennsylvania. He was 1 month old. I only saw him one time, and he was taken from my mom. And he was adopted to a single white male in Pennsylvania. And I'm still actively searching for him. The week I turned 18, I went and registered at the post-adoption registry. And I guess they say he's got to look for me before they can make contact. But I went to a place called the First Nations Repatriation Program. And they're the ones that told me that he was adopted to Pennsylvania. So at least I know a little bit about what happened to him. Yeah. My sister was adopted to Nepean, Ontario. And I only found out about her when she started accessing the treaty so she could get sponsored for school. So she was adopted, but when it came time for post-secondary, her adoptive family told her that, you know, your education is paid for because you're a treaty Indian.
Which isn't sort of sometimes true.
Oh, yeah, it's like winning the lottery, man. It took me 5 years before I could actually get funded to go to school. But I was persistent, and I kept trying. So I'm glad I didn't. I didn't give up. You know, some people think, oh, yeah, you're guaranteed an education if you're status. But our band, I think they allow 12 people a year out of 2,000 people. So that shows you the percentage, and it shows you how many people are actually getting denied.
Yeah, that is. That's pretty lottery-like.
Yeah.
You have three kids.
Yeah.
And you noticed when you did the baby gat stuff that your friends were dressing their kids like that. How differently, since you reflected and painted about it, how did that change your perception as a mom?
Oh, I think, you know, like everything happens for a reason, and I had to see what was going on so I could kind of have some grasp on what my own kids were going through, and like not even understanding why they can't wear a certain color and go to a certain part of town. You know, like it never dawned on me. Like, I didn't even realize, you know, how hard it was for them as kids, you know, like. My daughter couldn't wear red and walk through the North End, you know, unless, you know, people would go up to her and say, well, who are you down with? Why are you repping red? And if she was just saying, well, I'm wearing red, she could get beaten up for that, you know. And like one day, her and her best friend, Cheyenne was 13 and Janine was 12. And I was wondering where my black electrical tape went, and this one bracelet, it had these metal spikes on it. I don't know, I just had it for decoration, kind of. And they were going somewhere, and Cheyenne says, okay, Mom, I'm leaving. I'll see you later. And I saw something sticking out of her pocket. And I said, what is that? And I grabbed it. And I saw that it was a pool ball completely wrapped in black electrical tape, and it had a handle on it. And Janine had one, too, and I took them away. I said, you can't walk around with these. You know, somebody could take them from you. And then use them on you. You know, if you don't know how to use these, you get robbed for them and beaten up. But they said, well, we want to go over here, and we're scared they're going to fight us. Well, I said, well, you know what makes perfect sense? Don't go over there. You know? But if, I know as kids, we want to do things. We want to go see our friends. So they had friends in the area and that were invited, but they also had to be careful because it wasn't their area.
Right.
So, and I just... Like, that was never a problem for me growing up. We went anywhere, you know? We wore anything. So, yeah, it was quite different.
So after this show, what next?
Well, I'm just going to continue painting. I paint a lot for people in the community. I get, like, a lot of commissions from First Nation organizations. They do a lot of giveaways and, you know, stuff at ceremonies, and they asked me for my work, so I'm going to continue doing that. I never really thought I was going to get to show this work. You know, all together, but I got to know the lady at Nichi Niche, and she said she'd seen my work in Ottawa, the Childhood Memory Series, and then I showed her a few pictures of the other work, and she's like, let's have a show. So I was like, yeah, okay. And I was thrilled about that because, you know, to bring the work to the North End is kind of full circle for me. There's like no other venue that I could do that at, you know, and Nichi Niche just being a brand new place too, it means a lot to me to show the work there. And it's cool. Have you been there?
No, I haven't been there yet.
Oh, it's got a really good vibe in there. I love it.
One last thing. It's titled Ever Sick. Why Ever Sick?
That's a popular slang amongst First Nation people. We'll say it, like in jest. We'll tease each other, like, say you went and bought a brand new pair of shoes and you're all proud of them and you're like walking around, and we'll say, ever sick, those are ugly. You know? Or like, ever sick, quit being so proud, you know? So when I think of the North End, because as a kid we used to say that, and growing up down in that area and wanting to attract those people from the hood. I want people from the North End to come see this show. I want this art to be accessible to everybody. So that's why I'm so happy that it's going to the North End, because I feel my cousins and my friends are going to be able to come and see the show and really get the meaning of the work, because a lot of people look at the work too and they'll laugh and they'll say that, you know, it reminds them of somebody, or ever sick, look at that. So it's a perfect name for them.
All right, so it's from July 5th to August 1st. However, there's an artist talk and reception on the 19th. What is the 19th? It's Friday.
Yeah.
At 7 o'clock. So anybody who's listening should go talk to you, right?
Just come and listen. I'm going to do the talking, though. Just kidding. No, I'm really nervous about that, but I'm excited at the same time.
Thanks for coming down this morning. Yeah,
thanks for asking me.
All right. That's Jackie Travers, and you can check her out and her work on July 19th at Nichi Niche of Nichi Commons at 865 Main Street.